Now we're moving on to our bloggers roundtable. The votes are in. Last night, Hillary Clinton ended her string of losses in the Democratic presidential primaries. We're going to hear more about that. Plus, is the race for good press on? Is the mainstream media anti-Hillary? We'll find out. With us today, we've got Arlene Fenton. She runs the blog Black Women Vote. Former Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Kevin Ross. He blogs at Three Brothers and a Sister. And self-described vigilante pundit Baratunde Thurston. He's a blogger for sites including the Huffington Post. He also writes for Jack and Jill Politics under the pseudonym Jack Turner. Welcome, folks.
Pleasure to be here. Yes.
So, pundit said Hillary Clinton needed to win big last night in order to stay in the race, and she did. But she is still behind in the delegate count. So where does the race go from here? Baratunde, you are in Dallas, Texas right now. What's the mood?
The mood that I witnessed at campaign headquarters last night was everybody's ready to roll to Pennsylvania. There was a sort of acknowledgement of the math that still favors Senator Obama pretty strongly, and a little bit of frustration and anger about kind of the methods of the last few days that the Clinton campaign has continued to employ that felt very negative, again, very divisive. And you see that those last breaking votes did go for her. So when you look at the 3 a.m. ad or her failure to sort of resoundingly acknowledge, you know, his Christian faith and kind of leave ambiguous the fact that he may be a Muslim and not say that that's not a bad thing that you're a Muslim, sort of throws up in the air a little bit more of the ugly side of the campaign that we've been seeing. So there's frustration, definite frustration, but also happiness about the caucuses and the way those turned out. And on the black people side, I was going door to door a lot. I was just very impressed with how educated people seemed about the process and how invigorated they were to finally have some kind of say in where this was going to go.
Kevin, do you see the race taking a really negative turn at this point?
Oh, my God, it's already taken a negative turn. Just in the last few days alone, you have seen this fusillade, if you will, of negative, how can we undermine Barack? How can we take issues such as what's going on with, what is his name, Tony Resco. In Chicago? Let's get him in a picture with his garb on, this garb that he was in when he was traveling in this Kenyan garb. And let's look at Michelle Obama's thesis from when she was at Princeton in 1985. And what about those kindergarten papers that he was saying, you know, he's always wanted to be president. He's an egomaniac. It is amazing to me to see the vitriol. And the thing that's so distressing to me is that it's working. Yeah. It's working. That's the thing about it, because folks clearly over the last few days responded to Hillary's throw in the kitchen sink, let's challenge this whole thing of black remorse. I mean, listen to me, black remorse, buyer's remorse, pardon the pun. But it seems to have had an effect.
Arlene, do you think that the negative campaigning is the way that Senator Clinton could clinch this?
I do. I mean, we all say that we hate negative campaigning, but the reality is it works. And I actually blogged about that today because my question is, how is Barack Obama going to respond to that while still keeping his mantra of running a positive campaign? If he doesn't respond to the negative attacks, he looks like a wimp. And if he does, he kind of impeaches himself on what his campaign is about. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's going to do in the next couple of days.
Well, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk a little bit about whether there could be a Clinton-Obama ticket, as well as all of the other political mayhem going on, like skin darkening. So stay with us. We're talking with Arlene Fenton, Baratunde Thurston, and Kevin Ross. I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Let us continue with our bloggers roundtable. We have got Arlene Fenton from the blog BlackWomenVote.com, Kevin Ross, and Baratunde Thurston. He's a blogger for several sites, including the Huffington Post. And guys, let's just jump right back in here. I want to play you a little bit of Senator Hillary Clinton. She spoke on CBS's early show. She left the door open for a combined ticket with Barack Obama.
Well, that may, you know, be where this is headed. But of course, we have to decide who's on the top of the ticket. And I think that the people of Ohio very clearly said that it should be me.
Kevin, oh. it's all giggles.
You know what? I got to get back to what Arlene said, though, over at Black Women Vote. I checked out her site. I checked out Burrotunde regularly at Jack and Jill. But look, the bottom line is Barack Obama has got, you remember that game, Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and you have the red one and the blue one? He's got to bash her face in. He's got to knock her block off.
But how do you really feel?
He's got to knock her block off. Because in the game of politics, if we were dealing with those robots, that's the objective. You've got to knock the block off. And then afterwards,
I didn't think black men could do that to white men.
Hey. And, you know what? Careful, now, that's a whole other topic for a whole different discussion. But I know over at Three Brothers and the Sisters, where we blog, we're looking at it from a standpoint of Barack. Ultimately, you are going to pick someone other than Hillary to run as your VP. But Hillary has a vested interest in running for you. But for now, you got to make her say, nah, and make this thing really jump off, because you see how it's had a positive impact on her campaign.
Arlene, that's laying a line in the sand. Do you think, I mean, Barack Obama, when he repeats change and hope and change and hope, can he go nasty? Or is that just not going to suit him?
See, that's the problem, because I think it'll work for black people, but I don't think that certain folks are going to deal with that.
Hey, it works for me, and no, I'm a Republican, so you know.
Well, it goes well beyond black people, too, just to throw that in.
But I think that the Kumbaya crowd will have major issues with it. I do.
But we all know it's going to be nasty.
I do think
he
needs to go. Yeah, he needs to go on the offensive. I completely agree with that. But I think he's going to need to be very crafty about how he goes about it, essentially.
Well, let's talk about another shade of photographs and another shade of politics. There is a controversial new ad for Hillary Clinton, and some of the Obama supporters say that it deliberately darkens Barack Obama's skin color. It's, you know, this image from the debate. It's a video image, and he looks a little purplish to me. Arlene, do you think that this is malicious or just, you know, bad lighting? What's going on here?
You know something? I have a problem with both sides of this argument. I am a fairly dark-skinned woman, and, you know, pictures are taken of me, and I look all kinds of different shades. Now, I'm not saying that they're innocent, okay, with what they've done with this picture, but I also have a problem with the extreme exception that's being made with the fact that his skin appears darker, because to me, there's an underlying agreement that darker skin is somehow undesirable. And I have a major issue with colorism, which is assigning virtue or vice according to skin shade.
But how does that work with a biracial brother, though? I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you know, not to just jump in, but, sure. I'm a brown skin brother. And like I said, mm-hmm. I'm a Republican, and I'm looking at this from a standpoint of, look, I don't care if they darken or lighten this picture. Between YouTube clips and blogs like all of ours, I'm getting most of my information from Burrotunde over at Jack and Jill or what you – I didn't even know that this was an issue, Arlene, until I went over to your site and saw the pictures. And so I think that's where we as black bloggers come into play, because we are now shaping the conversation. Black folks are and non-black people are coming to our sites and saying, well, I know what CNN said and I know what Farai had on her show, but what does Burrotunde really think? And we're reading it. So I know that Burrotunde was at Costco and was shopping in Dallas and looking at all these folks.
Yo,
so
you're stalking me, bro.
Hey, I'm a former judge. I do my homework.
I know.
You better
be careful.
That's how I roll. But I think that given what's going on with technology, when this is all over, we're going to look at the role as black bloggers that we have played and really dealing with these issues. It's not like back in the day when OJ's picture was darkened on the cover of Newsweek and we didn't have an outlet. We've got the outlet.
Well, let me ask you about that Burrotunde. I mean, back in 94, there was that picture of OJ darkened, and you know, the editors of Time said that it was to make him to reflect the sorrow of the moment or something like that.
But it reflected the sorrow of the state of the media at that time, and I think it reflects the sorrow of Hillary Clinton's campaign. Look, the darkening of the photo is not the single incident. And I think I feel very frustrated when I'm asked to respond to specific moments, because everybody thinks that black folks are being oversensitive. This is the latest in a string of kind of unimaginative appeals to people's darker instincts, pun intended. And I think when you add that up with the drug dealer comments, with the Jesse Jackson comparisons, with the reference to him as a cool, hip friend, with the dissing of all of his supporters as somehow delusional, with the constant moving of the line from one primary to the next such that a 20-point lead that collapsed into a 4-point victory is somehow seen as a major comeback.
Preach, brother.
Those are the things that I think are on the minds of our readers, on the minds of a lot of people that are not getting out there. And the narrative that's been shaped doesn't really reflect the reality on the ground. Look, J. Rue the Damager had an album come out in the early 90s called The Wrath of the Math. And I think it's time in many ways for the Clinton people and the Clinton campaign to reflect on that title and just look at what's possible here. There is some merit to the idea that, yes, bloodying him up is good, it toughens him. But at the same time, we've got to move to the general. And I think what I'm hearing here in Dallas a lot is people are nervous that we're getting beyond the threshold of toughening Obama up and into the threshold of just tearing him down.
All right. I have one last question, and it's a speed round question. So there's been this new study by the Center for Media and Public Affairs at George Mason University. They found the networks were harder on Hillary Clinton. And over the weekend, Saturday Night Live even had a little fun with a skit about the debates.
Senator Clinton, who is this man? What's his name? Dmitry Medvedev. Senator Obama, same question.
Dmitry Medvedev.
Correct. Senator Clinton, Nigeria's foreign affairs minister. Can you name him?
I don't know.
Ojo Moduekwe. Senator Obama, same question.
Ojo Moduekwe.
Correct.
And that brings tonight's debate to a close.
All right, the speed round question is, do you think that Obama has gotten a hall pass by some of the media who love him? Kevin?
You're asking a black man, is this black man getting a hall pass to be the president of the United States?
Yeah.
The bottom line is, he is still a black man. He is still running for the most powerful position in the world. I'll just say he's not getting a pass. Hillary's just whining. And the bottom line is, she's not as likable. I think that's what it comes down to.
Arlene?
I say yes, but it was a setup. I've seen this many times. I think the press loves to build people up because the spectacular fall is an even bigger story. So I think it's a factor of certain people being very biased, who I probably wouldn't name right now. But I think it's just a dynamic in politics in general,
Arlene,
which
he
benefited from.
Name him, Arlene. Go ahead.
All right. We don't have time for all that. Baratunde.
Look, I think that there's some room for people's personal kind of opinions to shine through. But more importantly, I think it discounts the bias that, again, sort of assumes that she somehow still has a legitimate shot at this. And that's a deeper bias, the fact that it keeps playing out of 12 straight losses, that she's somehow legitimate. And furthermore, I think we've seen that media bias itself isn't that important. Perception of media bias is what's important. And as a lot of conservative and right-wing folks have done, bullying the media into putting someone like Tucker Carlson on PBS for Fair and Balance, I think what the Clintons are playing on here is further victimhood and victimization. And she's raised that flag many times before in this race. This is just another one. You don't whine to win. No great leader has ever done so by whining. And that's a bit frustrating to watch all this go down.
All right. Well, guys, it has been great talking to you. Take care.
All right. Thank you for having us.
Later, y'all.
We've been talking with Arlene Fenton from BlackWomenVote.com. She was at the Audio Post Studios in Philadelphia. Self-described vigilante pundit Baratunde Thurston, who blogs at the Huffington Post and Jack and Jill Politics under the pseudonym Jack Turner. He was at KERA in Dallas, Texas. And former Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Kevin Ross, who blogs at Three Brothers and a Sister. He was with me at our NPR West studios. You can find links to their blogs and ours at nprnewsandnotes.org. And the conversation doesn't stop here. Our online series, Speak Your Mind, gives you a chance to sound off on the issues you care about. To find out how, go to our blog, nprnewsandviews.org, and click on Speak Your Mind.